The authors have entitled our lesson today, Abram Called by God. It's taken from Genesis, the 11th chapter, verses 31, and we'll proceed through chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. Abram Called by God. The quarter topic is going to be faith and providence, but our unit is going to be a call to faith. And there's nothing more serious than the call of God, the call of God. And this morning we're going to examine a call made to a man who is considered the father of a faith. In order for him to have gotten that title means that he trusted God no matter what. And a part of any call, the proper response to a call is dependent on one's faith and trust. Do you trust the caller? You know, it's like when you were a little boy, and Grandma used to get in the screen door. You know exactly who that was. And you know that a proper call, a proper response was necessary for that call. Well, God didn't do it either, but he spoke very clearly to Abram before he was Abraham. We're going to look at these verses, but we will notice, as we've studied in our previous units, Genesis, it always talked about the various events that occurred, the creation, the fall of man, the great flood. From beginning in chapter 12, we're going to focus on personalities. Persons. And the first person we're going to talk about is Abram. Abram, later to be called Abraham. It's part of his transformation process, but long before he was Abraham, he was Abram. But in order to get this something out of this lesson today, it's going to have to be more than just a narrative. You're going to have to do some reflective consideration of your own. And you're going to have to answer the question, am I heeding the call of God? Through Abraham, we will see how that can be done. And the only way to heed the call and heed it appropriately is to give a proper response of obedience to that which you've been called to do. God just didn't call Abram. He's calling you and I each and every day. Pastor Obey, Bishop Obey, Brother Obey, who taught a lesson 2 weeks ago out of the book of Hebrews with the corollary scripture over in John 1, John 1, 1 to be exact. And he shared with us that God is always talking. And he began his presentation the other night by saying that God in times before spoke in many ways and to many folk, but now he's doing a new thing. God speaks. He used the prophets in times past, but in these days, he's speaking through his son, Jesus Christ, who is a special revelation from God. But the thing that I notice that whether it's a special revelation in the person and the personality of Jesus Christ, or it's a general revelation, which is times aren't like they are today. Yeah, you're right. Times aren't. We're distracted by many things. But in order to heed a call, you got to listen for a call. You got to be receptive to it. I think this is an appropriate lesson today, because we just concluded weekends, and we're furthering those weekends where people are getting together and for high school and college graduations, and there are a great number of family reunions and class or alumni reunions, and it's really interesting. Dick Newsom is over at the Rock today, but he just came back celebrating his 50th anniversary, reunion, class reunion, 50th anniversary next year, all right, but 50th, and you know, but you know how it's gone with those reunions. People will be saying, "What? You are what? You are where?" Y'all bear with me, because that's what's going on. And I'll show you why that's important and how I tied those two ideas together. It's because Abram and his daddy lives in a place where you would not, today, you would not expect God to be, you know, by our own imaginations and assumptions and knowledge. And as a matter of fact, let me just tell you right now, Abram was not one of those Holy Ghost filled, sanctified, tongue talking, I love the Lord persons. Matter of fact, he didn't know the God of Israel. He lived in a time and with a daddy that was polytheistic. In other words, he was an idolater. He worshiped many gods. So the thing that's stunning in itself in the lesson today is that God would be talking to somebody like that. Therefore, back to the reunion, how in the world did you talk about you in somebody's Sunday school class on Sunday morning? That yeah. You are and you in ministry? And did you say misery or ministry? Because I knew you when. And the people that knew Abraham would have said the same thing. I knew you when. How do you get hooked up with this God of the universe? Because God is always talking. But are you listening? For Abraham to have heeded the call of God, he had to be listening. And the one thing that I wanted to share with you this morning, and we get it right out of verse, the first couple of verses there, is that many times God will speak to someone else, not for you, but confirmation for you. You thought you came to San Antonio, Texas, because the government sent you here. That's what you thought. But God is always talking. And God's word reaches in some of the strangest places. But yet his word reaches into the right places. Because see, living in an idolatrous society and culture, you would think that one, well, there was a possibility that they would be exposed to this one God, but they had many. So, you know, they had a smorgasbord that they could choose from. But behind is that Abram gets focused, gets keyed in on this one God and this one voice. Well, verse 31 tells us a little bit. And what?
Abram's wife, and they went forth with him from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and his wife.
according to verse 31, is that Terah had an idea about going to Canaan. And he said nothing about Abram. But Abram, who's a good son, and I'm going to tell you, he's a good son. Because at 75 years old, a lot of us ain't good sons and daughters. You know, as a matter of fact, mom and dad ain't around, you know, for a lot of us that are 75. But here, Abram goes with his father because his father wanted to go. Many of you are here because someone else wanted to come here. Spouse or child wanted to come to San Antonio. So you took a dart and you threw it. Yep. You landed right here. But was it more than that? What made you pick up that dart? What made you respond? Because Abram could have said, look, hey, Dad, I'm 75. I got my own wife now. You know, you go on down there, but I'm very comfortable where I am. But God needs to move you from where you are so he can put you in a position so that you can clearly hear his instruction and his direction. So the whole family picked up and they went to Haran. Well, they got down there. It's comfortable down there. They know the area. They linger. But some things happen because life happens. It was Terah that wanted to go there. He was 205 years old. And you know what the scripture says? He died. What happens when the reason that you came here dies? What are you left with? Who are you listening to now? You could have said Abram just left because his daddy said, let's go. He's listening to the voice of his dad. There's a scripture, I think over in Romans. It says, you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed to this life. See, God has to get you out of a certain place and position in order to transform you. Because if he leaves you where you are, you may be conformed. He's in the transformation business. So by the time you get to chapter 12, sometimes between telling Terah to leave, God had been talking to Abram. It's easier to move in a certain direction, even though you don't agree with it, when God has said it. Just a little bit, if you trust God. But you still got to get to how did this boy go to trusting God? When his daddy and all believe in many gods. It says, the Lord said, get thee out of what?
Thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, to a land that I shall show.
My brother to my left, Daryl Hill, said that God's got to get you out of your comfort zone. See, it's coming over to San Antonio, it's easy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's maybe a little high. I know you're from the East Coast and all, but you get to San Antonio, you get comfortable. But what happens when God said move? See, you thought this was the final destination. God just told you to move. And so now you've got to deal some things because life will happen. Dad's not around no more. And now he who was being led is now the leader. See, you've been transformed from follower to leader. But God said, I want you to get out of this country. I know you moved out the shirts. And so you think you're satisfied because you moved from, San Antonio to shirts. But I want you to get up out of shirts. And you know what? I don't get around for all these people that you know, people that you're familiar with, people that you have influence with. And I want to take you somewhere else. God wants to take you somewhere else. This is just a pit stop, folks. And that's what people don't get. And that's what, you know, there's some folk, Vanessa, that are crying, Lord, when are you going to get me out of here? That's been my plaintive cry for 29 minutes. When are you going to get me out of here? And then some folk that said, I just want to stay. I ain't going nowhere. I found the right church. I found the right school. I found the right home. I'm comfortable right here. But it is in where God intends for you to be. We know your plans, but do we know God's purposes for you? Y'all bear with me. Because he says, get out. And I want you to go somewhere. I'm not going to tell you where you're going, but I'll show you. In other words, you can't make plans. You can't get up and make a reservation because you don't know where you're going. So you can't jump in your car and turn on your car GPS system. Anybody know what GPS stands for? Positioning system. Global positioning system. See, you need to turn that off and put on a real GPS. God's placement, God's provisional system. See, we've got to turn off the positioning system and turn on his provisional system, because God will provide no matter where it is that you're going. He doesn't have to tell you where he's going. Just know that he's going to be right there with you, providing everything that you'll need. Will you heed the call? Well, according to Abram, he says, according to God, I'll give you a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. And I will
bless you
and
make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing.
It sounds to me like covenant making there. If I didn't know better, if I hadn't gone to basic doctrine, I wouldn't know what that meant. But it looks like to me the Abrahamic covenant. That's the key elements. The beginning of the key elements of the Abrahamic covenant. He says that you do what I asked you to do, and I'll make your name great. I'll bless you. And you know what? I'll not only bless you, you'll be a blessing to others. And the thing I like about it is that blessing to others was written in the imperative. It means that Abraham, you will be a blessing. Because I blessed you. See, we don't get on. If you're heeding the call of God, if you're getting into God's will, you don't want to hold on to what you got. You want to be a blessing to other folk.
All right.
But you can't be a blessing to other folk if you're not blessed.
Amen.
So it's a key element. And you can't be blessed unless you're heeding the word of God. If you're not heeding the word of God, folk, you're not in the will of God. God can talk all day long, and he's still talking. He's not going to stop talking. He's telling us every day where we need to be. And instead of turning on God's provisional system, we turn on our global positioning system. If I just go here, I'll be all right. No. God says, when you got on my provisional system, you can go anywhere and you'll be provided for. He said, but I'm going to show you the land. I'll show you. And these are the blessings that are going to come after that. And I will bless them that bless thee. And I will curse thee that curse thee. And thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, ain't trying to get political. Y'all, I see you over there. Y'all, I'm not moving in that direction. However, I'm going to tell you, I believe in the B-I-B-L-E. And so when you come to me, you know, you can come with all your nationalist talk that you want to. But when it comes to God and his people, I'm standing on the side of his people. I'm one of those ride or die boys with his people. Because he's already told you. He's got protection for them. And he says, if you are with them, I'll protect you too. But as the boys from West Virginia said, if you're again them, I'm again you. That's real simple. And that's God talking. God is talking, but are you listening? Because many of you have been called from Ur and you stayed in Haran. God never intended for you to stay in Haran. God says, you go where I want you to go. And when you do, when you follow my direction, when you follow my lead, not what you want to do, not what you desire to do, not you long to do, what it is that I want you to do, I will show you, I will bless you, I'll defend you at every turn. You have an umbrella of protection around you if you can just heed the call of God. Stay with me. Verse 4 says, stop. So Abram departed. I don't hear a dissertation between God and Abram about, God, now wait a minute, I understand the blessings, I can buy into all of that, I really like that, but you know what, God, I mean, this thing, you don't show me, you just want me to get on the road, me and mine, take everything I got, leave where I'm comfortable, lead where I'm known, I've got influence, and go to somewhere that you choose? And God said, not a word. You know why? Because I don't have to repeat what he already said. Told you to get up and get up. I don't hear that from Abram, though. Here's a man who does not know. This is an indictment on Christendom today. Here's a man who really doesn't know God the way that we know God. This man knows God only through general revelation, because a special revelation has not yet happened. Y'all don't hear me. This man looked at the stars, the moon. He looked at his wife. He looked at his nephew. And he said, I didn't make that. I didn't paint that grass green. So it's only through general revelation that he knows anything about God. Yet he is hearing the word of God. And he is now called the father of faith. You know why he's called the father of faith? Because God's word is true. God's word says over in Romans 10, 17, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All Abram had to do was hear the word of God. Didn't have to go to family church school and midweek Bible study and lunch with the Lord and, you know, small group study. He didn't have all of that. He just had the word of God. And you know what? On his word, he trusted God. On his word, folk, he trusted God. God didn't have to perform no miracles. He didn't have to open up no Red Sea. He didn't have to feed 5,000 plus Dorothy DeVille and her family. Didn't have to do it. He just trusted God. You old timers will know what that means, but Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And what? Stop. Y'all know the story. Y'all know this is a bad move. Go back up to the previous verse. He says, get rid of your kindred. But here it says, Lot went with him. Ain't got time to deal with it this morning, but it's very important. Because see, folk, I told you, your plans will never thwart God's purposes. Because you got some connections here and you got stuff you got to hold on to, some of that stuff you're holding on to, you don't even understand. It didn't even make sense. Matter of fact, Sarah probably, you know, that boy Lot gonna be a problem. You know, his daddy dead, he wild, he ain't gonna do nothing. Hook up with some strange gal, she don't go crazy, you know. Why don't we just leave him and take what we got? We ain't got no children. I don't be no surrogate mother, nothing, you know. But it says that Lot went with him. Very important. And if you're wondering why Lot is important, he's a Moabite. It's the Moabites that come out of Lot. Moabites. So that tells you. No Moabite, no Christ. Okay. And I know. See, Brother Harris here says he was 75 years old. Here he is. He's 75 years old. And then in the prescripture to this, it tells about all that lineage, who it was, and talked about Sarah. He's 75 years old. He doesn't have any children, but yet God has promised him that he's going to be the father of many nations. Folks, that's trusting God. See, it'd been easy if you just stay right here. Oh, yeah, okay, you'd be the father of many nations. Okay, yeah, I trust you, Lord. I ain't got to give up nothing. I'm going to stay right here, and I'm going to just live out my life to the best of my ability. But he's 75 years old. He's still a youngster. That's how he was still in his daddy's house. 75. But now he's got to believe God for a blessing that he's going to be the father of many nations. Did I also tell you that he had an older wife also? But not only an older wife, she was barren. So against all the odds, God's going to be a blessing in my life, and I'm going to bless other folk. That I'm going to be the father of many nations. I don't have a chick nor a child, but yet you're going to bless me like that. Talk to me. Because that's what y'all say. Y'all honest. And that's why many of us are still in disobedience. Because we look at the risk, we look at the situation, and we say, God, that just can't be. That's why we don't hear the call. That not only it says he took Sarai with him, that means she went with him. That means that Lot, that means that they were hooked into whatever Abram, the visionary, was hooked in. Abraham heard something. Abraham saw something that they didn't hear nor see. But yet they went. Here we got a vision. We done seen how God done stuff for us already. And you know what? Just like he did it then, he can do it again. But I'm too old. I'm on a fixed income now, Brother Sneed. I was part of the willing sacrificial givers. I was bought into that. I could see that, but I ain't gonna live here long enough to see children playing on playgrounds and reading out and old folks being in reflective mode in little sanctuaries within the chapels. I'm not gonna be here for that. I just don't see it. No. You don't see it, but you're not listening either. You don't see it or hear it. Because you not only see vision, you hear it. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. What eyes? And it's trampling. And that's a noise. I hear it. So here it is. 75 years old. Takes up these people. His whole household and everybody in it, long before Joshua said, as for me and my house, everybody went. Everybody was hooked into whatever Abram was hooked into. And they were hooked into it with less information than Abram had. Because at least he could say, I talked to God. And that's why you have trustees and deacons in meetings say, well, God ain't told me that. Am I too close, Jay? Yeah, you sit me down. You, come on up, Deacon Johnson. Teach the lesson, man. I'm through. Hey. They followed him. They submitted themselves unto their spiritual leader, who now has this God who's going to take him to a place that he don't know, has not shown him yet, says, I'll show you. I'll show you where it is. And I'll tell you when you get there. My God, that's trust. Oh, folk, that's an indictment on the church. Let me tell you, some of you have been here when you've seen what can be done. Oh, come here. Those that are with me, we'll just huddle right quick. Sister Marshall, Sister Smith, we'll huddle. Sister John, we'll huddle right quick. I came here. $58,263 was what they had in church, and they had saved it for 15 years. Roughly, they're about to get there. And you're going to, God told you to be a what? A $3 million. Wait a minute. Hey, look here. Hey, guys. Look here. Have you checked the bank account? No, they didn't say that. God told you. God called you to do this. You're hooked. Not on a man. Not on an idea, but on the word of God. Because all, see, because if anybody gets up and says, this is my idea, I want to do this, you tell her, well, you take your idea, you go right on. You're a man just like I'm a man, you know?
Yeah, right.
But when you say, the Lord has shown me.
All right.
The Lord has told me. You know what you do? You say, I still don't trust you, Nina, but I trust God.
Amen.
And they departed. That's how vision is achieved. That's how the call of God is satisfied, is when people who hear the word respond appropriately to that word. Are you listening? Have you responded to the call? See, because Haran is not your final destination. And some of you, for Haran is just a temporary duty assignment. It's not a PCS for you. Some of you, great, talented, gifted folk, gifted to my gift. It said God gave gifts to the church. Well, why can't I use my gift here in Resurrection? Maybe God's got you here so you can watch the gift and then go out and perform the gift in your next assignment. Because you think Haran is your permanent station, and it's not. Just when you got comfortable, dad dies. Just when you had a little influence and accumulated a whole bunch of other stuff, because it says that everything in his house, he picked up and he boogity with it. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, Lot, his brother's son, okay, so you in Canaan. So what? Last time I checked, if God told anybody to go to Canaan, it was Terah. But yet they're in Canaan. They've been to Haran. And now they're in right at the edge of Canaan. This is very important. Because up until this point, all the people could say was that Abram said, God said. Abram said, God said. Abram, we trust you. We trust you being with God. But because he didn't conduct any Sunday schools along the way, didn't conduct any evangelism classes along the way, these folk are just going out of blind faith. But for Abram, it wasn't blind. Because he says, I hear the voice of God. Therefore, I see the voice of God. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't, y'all don't believe me? It's getting ready to come. It's getting ready to smack you right in. Because it's funny, he comes to this place called Shechem. You guys know him as that. Not Sikkim, but it's Shechem. It's just a different spelling. It's a different spelling. That's all. But it's the same place. And he says, and unto the plain of Moreh. And you know what's interesting about that? He's making a journey from his comfortable home in Ur and his very comfortable home in Aram, where he's assumed authority and responsibility. And he comes to this, he's had been on this long journey, hot, and he comes to this plain, a lot of trees. But also the interesting thing about this particular area is that it's considered a, the word itself means teacher. But it was the plain of many doctrines, teachings, cultic. God, I've been doing exactly what you told me to do. And now I land in a place that's cultic. They don't know anything about you. But I thought this was Canaan. This is no different than what I left. Why did you bring me all this way to bring me into an area? Because you know what? He's being transformed. See, for now, he only has the word of God. But there's something that's going to happen at Shechem that will change the relationship between God and Abraham eternally. There's one element. You said, you know, faith without works is what?
Yeah.
See if it ain't true. Even here, they come here and stop. Y'all were not excited enough. I thought y'all had read it. I just let one person read it there because I thought y'all would be excited about that. The buildup. Don't you see? All this time, God has been talking. But here, he appears. And it is, I believe, it's only the second time. This is called a theophany, where God makes a physical appearance. So now he has his word to match a personal, relatable experience, manifested experience with God. And let me tell you something, folks. You can read the word of God, but unless the word of God gets in you and you have that experience with it, it's quite different.
Amen.
The word will sustain you through a lot of stuff. But you know what? The whole purpose of the word is that you would know him.
Amen.
That you would know him and the power of his resurrection. That you would really know him. And see, up until now, God has been, Abram has been trusting God even though he really doesn't know him the way he should. Because you know what? It's progressive, folks. You don't become saved one day and all of a sudden you're a hallelujah Christian, pew jumper, tongue talker. You know all the prayer languages. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It's progressive.
Amen.
God has provided for Abram and his people all along the way. He's transforming them. He's keeping them on the move so that they're not conformed to the environment that they're in. And now, I don't know why, I don't know what it is, they come to this indoctrination station and God says, I got to show up in purpose and power. Because I don't need you to be confused anymore. And that's the thing that I love about God, that he can take you on a journey. And even when you come into difficult times, even when you come into people who question, your beliefs in a one and true God, that he'll show up himself to give you that encouragement. Y'all know how it is. You've been reading and praying all day long. All month long, all week long, all year long, all years long. And while you are staining your pillows at night, all of a sudden, God shows up. So TG, I don't know why. Look here. You don't need to worry about this. Sleep, my son, while it is night, because there's work to do tomorrow. Yeah. I want y'all to hear that, because see, that's a part of the call. The call will be made, but the call will always be reinforced by something, by someone. Hear me? Folks, stop jumping out there in the frying pan because people are telling you the stuff. Because Terah says, let's move. And you think, oh yeah, hey, Haran is a good place. Because my daddy said that we should go over there, we should be there. Hey, you know, stop saying, well, you know, I'm retiring next month. I'm going to stay right here in San Antonio. I got to move to Georgia. I got to move to California. What did God say? Have you checked in on the purposes of God? What does God have for you? Not talking about us. Oh, yeah, your partner. Oh, your kids live with Obey gave a very powerful testimony Wednesday night. Said that, you know, he's born and raised here in San Antonio. He retired out there in Seattle from his church. And he says, I'm going to Dallas because Dallas is the greatest city in the world because my children and my grandchildren live there. And God said, you're going to San Antonio. But Lord, you don't understand. Mama's there, but you know, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, you know. You know, I want to go and share all these experiences in Dallas, the greatest city in the world. Obey, those are your plans. But I have a higher purpose. There's some stuff at Resurrection. They're on a journey that you need to make a deposit. So here at the plain of Moreh, in this cultic center, Abraham makes a deposit. He shows up, but then God shows up and shows out. You know how I know? You know how I know? Verse 7 first.
And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and have
building
thee an altar unto the Lord, who will appear unto him.
Oh, I'm in the land of Canaan. I'm in the land of Canaan. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I got my land that you promised me. Don't get it twisted. Resurrection ain't for you. Resurrection is for your seed. Oh, I'm not scared of y'all. But I'm 75 years old. my seed ain't been born yet. You see? What you're doing, the call that you're responding to, what generation will it affect? But God will never let you get it twisted and let you believe that it's for you, that you've arrived. You were at Resurrection. Hey, I done died and went to heaven. This is the closest thing to heaven. This side of heaven. Nope. God says, this is not for you. You want to make a deposit. You're going to do what you've never done before. Right here at Resurrection. But it's for your seed. Yeah. I got to give us some deacons. They know how I feel right now, because that's what it's about. It's about responding to the call of God when you first of all you have the thought, oh, this is for me, and God said, I got more for you than that. You think lamb was only a part of the Abrahamic covenant? What about that you will bless many nations? That you will be the father of many children. What's going to change at Shechem that will make you the father of many nations? In order for you to be the father of many nations, maybe you need to have visited many nations. So Abraham finds out at Shechem this great revelation. And you know what it is? You're going to be a nomad. You're going to be on the move. Oh, y'all don't believe me. They don't believe me, Lolly. They do not believe me. Just read verse 8, and then we can get out of here. We ready. Matter of fact, but who's leading devotion in deacons meeting? They can tune up. They can tune up because I'm on my way. I'm ready to hear this. And he what?
And he removed from thence to the mountain on the east of heaven, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built his altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord.
Couple of things. He moved to Bethel. Very important in the history of the Jewish nation. He moved to Ai, as it's pronounced. Very important. Because at Ai, they experienced their worst defeat and their greatest victory, all in the same place. That right there is a different lesson, but that'll tell you. If you go where God tells you to go, do what God says you to do. Yeah, you know what? You're going to experience the greatest in all life. Sometimes it's the greatest disappointments, but most times it's the greatest joys of life. But then there's Bethel. There's Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord. So Abraham becomes a tent builder because he doesn't need a permanent structure. He's totally hooked into God's vision now. He's hooked into the voice of God. He understands one thing. I'm on the move here. I'm going to go wherever God tells me to go. Wherever God leads me, that's where I'm going. But you know what? While I'm here, I'm going to rest comfortably in a tent. But the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to build an altar. And you know what that altar is for? Worship. Y'all not excited enough for me. Only person I saw jump was Deacon Ford and Deacon Johnson. In verse 8, let me tell you something, folks. You got to connect it to verse 7. Something happened in verse 7 that changed forever how Abram was to act. And he acts that way from 8 on. In verse 7, what happens? The Lord appeared. Once you've experienced the powerful word and presence of God, you can't do but one thing, worship. He had never worshiped God before. Because see, people who don't know God can't worship God. They don't understand the worship of God. Y'all not listening to me. I'm telling you, I know the paradigm. Y'all know I know the model. And I know, you know, the worship is for the crowd. But let me tell you, the crowd can appreciate worship. But when God shows up in their lives after talking to them all along that, those things that you were doing when you were a teenager, God was talking to you. That's why you turned out the way you did. You went to the class reunion last week. And you know what the people said? I can't believe Wes Hahn is a deacon in the church. That's what they said. Hey, look at you, wait a minute, help, wait a minute. I would have never known. I mean, such power and conviction. You're the last person. And when Abraham has a reunion, that's what the boys from Ur are going to say. You? Man, wasn't you throwing up, doing them crazy dances with all them idolaters with the rest of us? And you? You mean to tell me you worship God? He says, let me tell you one thing. If you abide in his word, and his word abides in you, you can't help but worship. Because experiencing the presence and the power of God always issues forth into worship. That's what he did, Because now he's fully hooked on the call, and he knows exactly the plans that God has for him. He knows that I'm going to be a nomad. Land will come, land will go. Abraham never occupied land. As a matter of fact, Israel has never occupied all the land that God promised it. Read Deuteronomy 30. And then come tell me about who the land belongs to. Okay, you geography majors. You tell me who the land belongs to. God is clear. But guess what? God is clear on his purpose. He knows what he's want for you. You can run, but you can't hide. So you can go down to Haran, and you know what? Haran, he ran, they ran. You got to get up and move out of here. Because God, and many of us, I know it, I understand. And some of us just got the opposite problem. You know, God has called you to a place, and you are there, and you say, okay, God, I served my time. I'm just like a prison. I mean, even in prison, they let you out sometime. You know, I didn't think this was a life sentence. God says, I know the purpose that I have for you. Your plans will never usurp the purposes of God. Amen. We've got to respond to the call of God. And it's a corporate call and an individual call. Yeah. Are you listening? Have you heard? God's going to call. But will we be listening? See you guys next week.